If you have ever been curious about Dungeons & Dragons, or the people who play it, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Ready, Set, Roll Insight, where you will learn how to be a better player and what drew people to the game in the first place. Now, join us for Insight with your host, Daniel Wells.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Ready, Set, Roll Insight. I am your host, Daniel Wells. And with me today are the lovely guests, Craigers Thomas.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
And my good buddy, Sky Carter of,
You guys use both your real names, and here I am with my fake online alias.
Yeah, you're using
alias.
Your fake-ass internet name.
Sky's got warrants. He can't be known.
Yeah, from the Z-Team. I'm not even gonna say where you're from. Gotta keep it all incognito.
Yeah.
Incognito.
French minister?
French minister in another life.
Question mark?
Oh, comment ça va? Ça va bien.
Yeah, so, welcome back again for both of your all's third iteration on this, interviewing show. Decided to bring you both on because some very important things have happened.
You don't have any friends, and you need...
Yes.
Yeah, you needed two friends
hey,
for an evening,
hey.
So here we are.
We were just on that Dice Master show, which was really fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed my time there. But, no, because both Project Nova and Krillis, each show's respective campaigns, came to an end. Which is like weighing some kind of way on my heart, because you guys just added another two campaign finishers on top of the pile, and now I can say I'm a more experienced player and I'm feeling pretty good about it.
You finished a campaign. That's more than a lot of people can say.
Mm-hmm. But just as being like basically the showrunners, you two must be really proud of yourselves, honestly.
I don't know that I'm proud of myself, but it had to stop at some point. If not, I was going to be burnt out.
So that's actually a good thing to bring up, because what I'm basically the subject of this episode is discussing, you know, going through the campaign moments for you all. All the way to the end, because I know I've discussed with you both how you make up your stories, what story beats you go off of, you know, the beginning, the middle, and the end. But I guess during that time, did you both like ever have an experience of burnout during the podcasting?
Do you want to go first?
Sure. So there were times where my biggest problem is I can't DM for too long because, like Dan said, I start to get burnt out. So by the end of Nova, the cart was coming in on fire and the wheels were falling off because I was just like I gotta stop. I gotta play for a little bit. And once I play and I get that out of my system, then I can go back to being DM again, and that's not a big deal. But yeah, like the wheels were starting to fall off at the very end, but I knew I could make it across the finish line because I had it. Everything set up and everything was going to be played out, and I knew where I could see a finish line because I set one in my mind, and I wasn't just kind of like, okay, well, I guess this is a good place to stop. Like, I knew where we were going to go, and that kind of helped with the burnout because I could see the light at the end of the tunnel.
What about you, Sky?
I'm a forever DM, and I kind of love telling stories. So I genuinely rarely get burnt out, but I have been burnt out in the past. I didn't for Krillis, mainly because I had everything kind of pre-written, as well as I knew that my players would tell the story, and all I would have to do at the ending is just take the story that's already been told, combine it with theirs, and, you know, finish off. But there's definitely times I've had when I'm writing or DMing as well, like mid-DMing, you know, like maybe even like mid-session, where I'm just like, I lose like all enthusiasm and energy, and you're just sitting there like, Yeah, this guy's name is Bobbert, and he has he has a story for you. Oh boy.
Like, you named one of your paladins Jake, I think.
No, his name was Chris. Yeah, Chris. But that was planned.
Yeah.
I usually don't plan for my players to give out or ask people their names, so that's, yeah, it really sucks when your player's like, what's this dude's name? And you're like, Derek, yeah.
I hate whenever they ask, like, really trivial stuff that you didn't plan for at all. What street are we on? Second?
Did Derek ever go to school? Fuck if I know.
I had to do that with setting up the zoo.
Well, that was your fault for setting up a zoo.
Like, oh, we're in New York and there's a zoo. What's the name of the zoo? Okay, it's this. What's the name of the person who runs the zoo? This. Like, this was just supposed to be a fun one shot, not building more backstory to throw at Craig. But you guys think that really helps to keep you from getting campaign burnout? You know the finish line is there and your players are heading to it, and you want to get them there no matter what. Shoot this to Sky first.
Trying to formulate thoughts. I think it does personally help. I can definitely see, I guess I'll put this on myself. I am not a huge production show. I'm not, you know, I don't have, like, the critical role team of writers, nor am I worried about billions of people watching me. I have, at most, I'd say 10 people, including my dad, which I'm ever thankful for. If he ditches, I gotta go too. I don't have that pressure of worrying about, like, thousands of people on my comment thread yelling at me, telling me what to do, and, like, I made the wrong decision. I'm DMing for, personally, my 4 players and 4 of my favorite humans who I love to just... who I just love to sit around and tell us stories with, like, and that's what keeps me going at the end of the day when I'm writing those short paragraphs for settings, when I'm worried about whether my players will smash a glass bridge that I didn't plan for. I'm just there to have a good time, and if I do feel like it, I usually can switch something up, switch up a setting, switch up a thing, throw a curveball at my players, and usually that can get a spark running in them and me too, because now suddenly the whole settings change, or the whole, the risks, maybe kill an NPC, you know, add a different flavor to your soup.
Okay. On to Craig.
With the light at the end of the tunnel, that definitely helped me get, over the burnout, because as you all know, I am also DMing our side shot of Barovia, and I'm having a blast doing that because it's mixing it up. I felt like we were getting too far into the weeds if we kept on going with Nova. And I wanted to wrap it up and have a good bow on it. And while we still had a good thing going, and I didn't want to just play it out and, you know, kind of jump the shark.
Jump the shark.
Well, from my perspective as being a player in both your all's games, is that you all had a very open world aspect to both your all's games. Like, you had the ability and freedom to go wherever you wanted. However, with Craig's, it was, oh, we got this mission from the government, so we can handle that. With yours, Guy, it was, it kind of ended up on the straight and forward path because we had to make sure we gathered up powerful items that were needed to be kept out of enemies' hands, and then it just built up into a war and just all that other stuff, right? So, I feel like that could have put an edge on you all. Like, do you all think that having an open world narrative can get tricky if your players just want to go random off in a weird direction? Let's see, who do I want to go first? It is Scott, you can go first.
I've run a little bit both. My Monday night campaign that I run with a bunch of newer players is a little bit of both. I always like to have like an overlying heavy, like, oh no, the bad guy's doing something to the world. You guys should probably save it. But I also, especially with new players, love to just slap him down in this world and be like, here's all these fun, cool locations that you can explore, or I can take him on a scenic route. Because of the story, you guys should head to the Dwarven, you know, Citadel and see what's up with the dwarves. And they're like, hey, that sounds pretty cool, because it A, has a story theme, and B, we get to see new locations. So I do think open world can be a lot of fun, but I tend to see with far more experienced players, they want a story, and whether or not that means railroading them on to that whole story and they go here because you're telling them to, and you know, that can be always interpreted. But as a player as well, I kind of like a little bit of both. Like, here's this town, go ahead and explore it, at the end of the day come back and meet this dude, and then we can continue with the story. It's pretty fun to me.
And you, Craig?
So I find that not having a campaign on rails, but giving them here's the shiny thing, leads them in the right direction. It does help, because if you do too much open worldness, I've seen this on other podcasts where the DM will give them too much freedom, and they'll just sit there and not do anything for a whole episode. They just sit there and just tread water because they don't really know where they're supposed to go. So just giving them just a little nibble, like the carrot on the stick, to, yeah, you can do whatever you want, but that carrot's always over here if you kind of want to go this way. It does help a lot.
Better phrased.
Well, I mean, truth be told, I ended up on a train in both shows, so.
Yeah, you were on a train, and you all destroyed it.
Oh, man.
They didn't destroy mine, which was nice. I was very happy.
No, we destroyed a boat in that.
Though. No, you blew a man up in the second episode. An innocent man.
He shouldn't have fireworks on his boat. I don't know what to tell you, man. So going forward into the next iterations, the next campaigns, one which I'm doing the DMing for the next campaign and raise that role.
Is it going to be in space?
Not this time.
Is it going to be medieval? Modern?
It's going to be medieval, not steampunk, though. No, get away with that. I don't want steampunk.
I'm going to steer it just towards steampunk. That's my goal now.
I have bad news for your next campaign.
Oh, gosh.
Me furiously scribbling out guns for my campaign.
Well, no. We're introducing, I've already got the introduction of firearm. Because this campaign I'm about to do already has the introduction of firearms in it.
Right.
Because I'm doing it 250 years after a completed campaign I've ran before. So I have the knowledge base already there that I can just build on and throw it right in their faces. And with the Z team, are we still on the continent of Krillis, or are we moving on to another continent? What's going on there, Sky?
You will be on the same continent. I can't say too much because it's a little bit of a fun factor for me where I get to reveal it live on the show, but okay. Krillis is a lot different from what everyone will remember.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I'm excited. So, any new tracks that you all are adding to the already extended railroad of each podcast? Any future plans besides just the new campaigns coming out? Any cool updates and whatnot?
I'm really excited to get more into Barovia. I really like where we're going with it, and I just cannot wait to finish it up. I mean, you guys are really fun cast of people to play with because you all know what you're doing. And I like how scared you all are. Like, not you know the dangers of this place, and you're not afraid to express those dangers. So, I mean, we got our Barovia, we're doing a new campaign, and we're always doing side shots of other stuff, so keep an ear out for that. I know we did that, what's Chris's internet show, Ministry of Dice. Yeah. And he's doing a D&D set on Dice Masters, and he asked us to come on. So, on our Facebook page, I'm going to put the links out for you guys to look at whenever you if you want to check it out. So you can see our pretty faces, talk about D&D and nerding out to a guy who's nerding out on something else and he has no idea what D&D is.
That's actually going to be not a face reveal, actually. We've shown our faces before.
Yeah, on Facebook and whatnot. On Facebook when we went to Gen Con, a year and a half ago.
What about you, Sky? Face reveal?
Face? I mean, nobody wants that. No, I mean, if the people want it, I could see us doing an A to Z with our faces, maybe, if, all the players want it. I don't want to push people out of their comfort zone. I DM with my face out to my players because I...
Gross.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's hideous. And I have Italian hand gestures despite being a Dutchman, but I like to portray that.
Any potential for the shows going to having any live aspects to them?
Oh, I would love to. I've always thought about running a long one shot or something, for charity or something. Or even, if popularity rises, doing, a full-on live show in, a theater would be, a dream to just have fun with a bunch of folks in the crowd and play off, something that could have or should have happened in the campaign. Like, instead of rolling a one, what happened if they didn't die or something like that?
Bro. I see. What happens if... a bunch of what-if scenarios of if somebody didn't die... I guess this is more on my side and probably representing all the other players you guys have had. Did the players get to the ending the way you expected? We'll go with Craig this time first.
Oh, man. You guys were always throwing curveballs at me. Every step of the way. Whenever I come up with this big brain monster, right, that's controlling everybody, and then... I'm like, all right, we're going to have a cool, fun battle, and I'm going to, fuck with their minds, and I'm going to have, hallucinatory stuff on them, and I'm going to make this guy fight this guy. That's what I planned out. Nope, they have a bead of force, and they throw it at it and lobotomize the brain, and I'm like, well, I guess that guy's dead. Let me crumble this up and onto the next. So you guys definitely really threw me a bunch of curveballs, and I was not expecting that.
Sky?
Yeah, that's a very clear no. I had an idea of where you guys would end, obviously, but I think nearly, like Craig said, the curveballs were a coming, and I was a swinging and missing. But I would catch them as best I could, even with my other gloves mitt. I don't know how baseball works, so I'm doing my best. as a French minister. No, yeah, I had, entire, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know about the Glass Bridge scandal, and I had, as I previously mentioned, about 3 pages of stuff that they were to do in the arena, only to having to, next week, furiously scramble down a way around that to also include time and make it interesting enough. Ooh, they got my artifact and got out of the city. Bamboozled me. Truly. don't put glass bridges.
Look, man, I'm just saying descriptors always create loopholes in situations.
I thought it'd be just yes, cool scenery. Fuck me, right?
It was beautiful. I loved it, and especially when I destroyed it.
Yeah.
You
all should have broken-ass legs. I let you slide.
Hey, I was a monk.
Magic motherfucker.
I'll break your legs. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, the other thing is the difference in level between the two campaigns, where Craig had us at level 12 there at the end, Sky, you had us at, like, level 7, fighting hell demons and shit, and I'm like, good lord, man, I'm just a young little boy, don't kill me.
I'm a young lad, I'm only knee-high to a grasshopper.
Yeah, well, I wanted a basis, and I didn't want, because I'd always had the idea of doing the second campaign, and this was mostly to build the world, I didn't want you guys to, you know, be power leveled and then be suddenly, you know, like gods, and then I'd have to wonder, you know, how to balance combat. Because personally, once you get to about level 12, and maybe Craig can attest to this as well, it is hard as shit to balance combat. Because these guys have so much things under their arsenal. They have magic items that you've been given out through the adventure. It's like, you could throw, like, Tiamat with 600 HP, and they'll still find a way to beat it at level, like, 12, 13. And you're just, you're like, okay, all right, now they have legendary reactions at every 10. They have 13 of them. And they have a blast that automatically does 80 damage. Cool, cool. Oh, you still killed me.
Yeah, Sky, I get that. So, for me, I have, like, 5 different monster manuals, and each one of them has higher and higher CR levels, and I'm like, man, that'd be cool to throw this guy in here at them. Well, fuck, they're only level 7.
You either have to downgrade, yeah. Have you looked into Kobold Tome of Beasts or Kobold Press?
No, I have not.
That's a very good tool.
So for a lot of the fights that we did on Ready, Set, Roll, I used Mordekind's Tome of Foes because I knew Dan. He knows the Monster Manual really well. And I was like, if I fucking use the Monster Manual and pull out some shit, he's going to be like, oh, I recognize that monster. He doesn't know what Mordekind's Tome of Foes is, and those monsters are motherfuckers. And,
and so, Volos, too.
Yeah, Volos is pretty good, too. So, like, if I level them up, and I'm not just going to give them levels like Oprah, you get a level, you get a level. Once I feel like we've hit a certain point in the story, it's more interesting to me for them to use more stuff. Because, yes, they've had the experience of going out and doing stuff. It's not just, you know, oh, well, it's been 2 weeks and now all of a sudden you're level 12. Like, you gotta earn it. So it's a give and take. I'm not gonna keep somebody treading water for too long. Plus, I think it's more fun.
Yeah, by all means. Like, that's one of the main reasons I ducked away from XP, because I would have players just sit there and try to farm the jungle, like MMORPG players. and I gotta be like, once you get the here, which means you should progress the story, you get your level, there's your big reward.
We're going to sit here and kill hogs for 3 years.
Kill boars until level 60.
Yeah, milestones, man, versus regular XP is a big... What the hell are you doing?
Oh my gosh. Sky gets it.
So, yeah. XP milestones, and I can understand where, you know, going into that point of trying to find a creature that's both cool and level appropriate, you find that quite a few cool monsters are in the lower CR range. But by that point you discover them, it's like, well, the players are already way too powerful to mess with it, so why even?
Yeah, that's when you swarm them, you just hit them with a shitload of them. And then they just start using all their spell slots to try to kill the swarm. And then they go into the next room and, oh, wait, this is where the big bad's been sitting. Oh, fuck, I'm out of spell slots.
Look, there's literally creatures in that they put into Dungeons & Dragons that are Zergs. Or freaking...
You all fought them.
Yeah. Terrible. Like, stupidly high armor little carapace pieces of shit. Like, what is wrong with that?
Just a bunch of turtles.
So yeah, big things coming in for both shows this year.
Hopefully by the end of this year, boys.
Yeah.
2020's been a hell of a ride, and hopefully we can ride that wave onto the new season.
And COVID I'm hoping 2021. Sorry, the Backstreet Boys tour 2021.
Yeah, Backstreet Boys reunion tour. Everybody gets that reference. Yeah, no, so yeah, big plans coming in for the next iterations of both shows. New campaigns, new characters, more side stories? Yes, probably, definitely, as we like to mix it up a bit and keep you on the edge of your seats. And maybe, just maybe, a full-on collaboration between the two shows.
Dude.
Careful planning.
I'm not, okay, so I might be a little, you know, right now, but listen, hear me out. A portal opens up. The people from Project Nova, the people from Krillis, merge in a Injustice-style situation.
It's modern-day New York. Here we go.
In modern-day New York, you have people from the fantasy past, people from the fantasy future, merge to take on Wall Street.
Mark Wahlberg.
Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg in
Project Krillis.
Project Krillis coming soon. It's time to take a bite out of the Big Apple.
That's a put it on a t-shirt.
I mean, speaking of t-shirts, the Z Team actually has a t-shirt out on Teespring.
Hey, we have a Team Feck shirt from the arena.
Perfect.
Firefuck, Ekrim, Cold Shoulder, and Kensai. It's on a t-shirt. It's on teespring.com/theZTeam. TheZeeTeam. Yes, I said Z.
You said Z E E, and so people are going to be going like, so wait, Z E D E?
No, I'm Canadian. It's pronounced Z.
Now they know. They're going to narrow it down.
I have a Canadian French minister.
Fuck. Dan?
Mm-hmm.
So, here soon, Sarah, my wife, is, she is working on some things with ink, and, she might be making some shirts for us.
Ooh.
But,
both companies. I can't wait to buy them.
Yep. Because you're definitely going to do that. we're definitely not going to bring them to your house and be like, here, Dan, have this shirt.
Well, you, maybe, but I still need to get my Team Feck shirt.
Yeah. Also, too, you need to put some of your merch on the Patreon page so I can get my exclusive quarterly Ready, Set, Roll merchandise.
I'm working on it, all right?
Look, his wife got really deep into crafts, so we're good.
Yeah,
on that.
Yeah, it's coming. Oh, it's coming.
We got buttons out the wazoo and masks.
She's gonna feck mask.
Yeah. You don't want feck across your mouth? I do. What the feck's on your mouth? There's my bad joke. Thanks.
Oh boy. Well, gentlemen, we are coming to the end of Insight, and yet again another.
So soon.
Yeah, man, 30 minutes. I gotta keep that time slot fresh.
Jesus
fresh
Christ.
I know, time goes by fast when you're having fun, gents. And I always have fun talking to you all about the various campaigns and what goes on next in our stories. Which I hope you all will continue to catch us on these stories. But first, we're going to part with you a little bit of insight. Who wants to start?
Oh, God.
Nah, I can go.
Ghost knows.
Yeah, I can go. I don't care. When you create a story as a DM, don't be afraid to sprinkle out little nuggets of foreshadowing, and because if you do that, it makes the grand reveal of the big bad so much better. So if you're going to have a twist in your story, set it up with some small little things that if a keen player could find out, it's going to make that reveal so much better. One of our Patreon episodes that we did which I called the Baker's Dozen, Daniel found out way before the twist, and when he found out, the joy on his face from the little breadcrumbs I led to this trail was so worth it for me. It made it, it really put a little icing on the cake. That's my insight.
Sky.
What's that? You finally got your campaign a little bit written? You've got your players? Why not have them meet all in a tavern, you say? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of cool, but why not sprinkle in your players' backstories as you introduce them? What are they doing as they make their way towards said tavern? Get a little bit of their personalities in, even, you know, before they meet. That way the players, while they're introducing themselves and the party sits around the table, you understand what they're like even before meeting them, because you get who they are. Jamie the Bard Butcher. He's from, well, he's a butcher house, but as he makes his way to the tavern, he has to stop and get his selections of meat for that day. You already know way too much about him, and you don't want him in your party, but he's there.
Good for meal cooking. Or, you know, just knock somebody out on the street.
The Bard Butcher meal prep plan.
Yeah.
My man.
My salam alaikum, no pork for me.
That's a big salami.
My insight is, get creative. Get creative. If you have an idea for something that's not in the game, but you're like, man, that sounds really cool, just throw it in there. It's all for fun, especially if you're doing your own home campaign. Don't do that in an adventure league. They will kick you out immediately.
Oh, yeah. Don't,
I know
yeah.
that. Because I like had it on my character sheet, and they were like, what is this? It's my special item. It's a staff that shoots silly string. Get out.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Don't ever show your face in here again.
Like, something goofy I did was I made stones that had the power of dragons in them, and then people could utilize those very elemental powers of the dragons. I didn't think it was busted until, like, later levels whenever I kept upgrading it, and it got busted. But it was so much fun to see the players have fun with these items. And yeah, so just make up your own homebrew items and have a go at it.
Oh, hell yeah. Flavor them towards your characters too. Gives them such delight, man. Oh, don't just give a random +2 greatsword that you rolled off the DMG table to your party when you have nothing but casters. Like, nobody's going to want that.
Exactly. Give them a whip that every time they use it, everyone's disgusted and starts throwing up.
Maybe not that, but yeah.
It was my only magic weapon, Craig.
Maybe not that, but you know what? You're close. You're almost
done. I picked that up in prison.
Oh, yep. No. A magical dirty whip that everyone was completely grossed out by. What was he using it for? Oh my god!
But yeah, thanks once again, everybody, for listening. As always, I had Craig. I had Sky. Sky's a part of the Z Team.
I am a part of the Z Team. You should check out our show, which is not as good as Ready, Set, Roll, but we're getting there. We have a new campaign coming out, and I hope you're as excited as I am, because it's gonna get fucking nuts.
And then, of course, I am Daniel, who's going to be the DM of the next campaign of Ready, Set, Roll, and it's going to be Milktoast.
Very, very,
wow.
Yeah, bland, vanilla, meat and potatoes.
Story you guys like flavor? Beats. Nah, not this one.
The English are going to love it. It's very bland.
Yeah, salt the white people salt spice. Pepper. Salt and pepper.
That's all you need. But as always, thank you all for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Ready, Set, Roll, Insight. Later.
Bye.
See ya.